Well, this brings us to the last class here, the last subject to consider, the art of listening, by Matthew Hirst.
I think I need help with this topic. My brother-in-law at the back just said, half an hour yet. And I said, we're half done, are we? I won't keep you for another however many hours. But I would like to ask you a few questions. And I want you to call out the answers together. A tree that has acorns is an oak. If you have no money, you are broke. A funny story told by a comedian is a
joke.
The cloud that rises from a fire is called
smoke.
The sound made by a frog is a
croak.
The white of an egg is called a
yolk.
Since when? So what is listening? I have this quote here. We do not come to understand our spouse or child by hearing and defining their words with the Merriam-Webster in hand. It's harder than that. Timothy Shorey said that in the book, Respect the Image. A school teacher asked her class the difference between listening and hearing. First, everyone had no response. Finally, a hand went up and a youngster offered this wise definition. Listening is wanting to hear. Listening is simply giving attention to a sound or an action. So when listening, a person hears what others are saying and tries to understand what it means. My definition of listening this afternoon is hearing from the heart, with the heart. What is that heart saying, and am I hearing it with my heart? Hearing from the heart with the heart. Now, the title says the art of listening. An art is a skill acquired by experience, study, or observation. The title indicates that effective listening will require earnest effort and experience. Now, the planning committee gets an A+ for this title because listening takes effort, practice, and more practice. We want to look at the promotion of the art, why we should listen, perfecting this art of listening, and then the product of the art. Why should we become proficient in the art of listening? Why are we taking half an hour yet when you're all tired and ready to go home? An ad in a Kansas newspaper once read, I will listen to you talk for 30 minutes without comment for $5. Did anybody call? It wasn't long before this individual was receiving 10 to 20 calls a day just to have someone listen to them for half an hour. First reason why we should listen and why we're talking about it is because listening follows God's example. Psalm 116, 1 and 2. I love the Lord. Why? Because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined what? Inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. So the author is visualizing God in high heaven, inclining his ear down to me, to listen to me. Notice that the triune Jehovah God, as all power in heaven and earth, bends down to listen to the weak, helpless sinner. And I want to make a note to self. Authority never excludes me from the obligation to listen to others. Secondly, God calls us to listen. James 1:19 in another translation says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Quick to listen to too many of us means that we want to listen very quickly and get it over with so we can talk. That's not the idea here. Another reason why we should think about listening is that listening conveys an affirmation of the other's God image. As we said earlier and heard earlier, all human beings are created in the image of God. They are image bearers. Even children in your classes bear the image of God. And listening to them conveys that we understand their intrinsic value in the eyes of God. There's another quote from Timothy Shorey. He says, "There is a glory in and about every human being, but you wouldn't be able to tell by the way we talk, and perhaps even less by how we listen." He also says that too often our words sound like we are talking to worms and weasels instead of wonders. Another reason, listening conveys love of fellow humans, and all humans need love. Listening is another way of saying, "I love you." Read 1 Corinthians 13 through the eyes of this thought, listening, and you will notice some beautiful truths about listening in that. Perfecting the art of listening. How do we perfect the art? Well, I'm certainly not the top of the list when it comes to the artists who perform best at listening, but the few things I've learned, I'm glad to share with you, because is there any greater joy than to see fellow artists progress? Perfect the art of listening. And the first one, I was going to use the board, I won't bother. But what is another word that uses the same letters, utilizes the same letters as the word listen? Yes, we saw that in the classroom over there, silent. Can you listen without being quiet? It's very difficult to listen well while we are talking. Silence enables us to pay attention, as we need, to the facial expressions, the tone of voice, and the cadence that is used as they are speaking to us. "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is a folly and shame unto him." Silent and listen. Utilize the same letters. The golden rule of friendship, secondly, is that we should listen to others as we would have them. Listen to others as we would have them listen to us. So we just really enjoy talking to people that every 3 seconds pull their phone out and look at it and, you know, we enjoy that, don't we? We feel heard. And especially if we're talking to them and a call comes in and, "Oh, I got to get this call." So they talk for 5 minutes. And then you're back at it again and it rings again. "Oh, yes, I better get this call." You feel heard, don't you? The golden rule of listening. Now, someone came up with a number of do's and don'ts in listening. Go over them quickly. Do show interest. Number one, do be empathetic. Do be patient and silent. This is a difficult one. When people are slower to express themselves, some of us just are that way. We won't say everything 90 miles an hour. And we're formulating our sentence as we speak. And you can wait a few seconds for the next word if that's what it takes. Some don'ts. Don't interrupt. I want to work on that one. Don't argue. Don't be quick to pass judgment. And if someone is sharing a problem, something they're trying to work through in their lives, don't be quick to give advice. Sometimes they're simply wanting to be able to share with someone. They don't need a whole lot of advice. Don't jump to conclusions. Too many times when we're listening, we figure out what they're going to say before they've even said it. Sometimes people even finish the sentence for you. Isn't that nice? You don't have to say what you were going to say. Sometimes I lose my sentence when someone does that on me. At the supper table, that's happened already. One of the younger children finishes it for me, and I almost forget what I was planning to say. Superficial hearing profane the dignity of human life. That is a quote I came across. Another way that we can perfect our listening is prayer. We can pray that God would help us to hear from the heart. If you find listening a challenge in the classroom, pray for God's enablement today. Lord, help me to listen to all the stories, to all the troubles, to all the excitement. Help me to listen. Maybe you're listening and you lack a response. Well, what do I say to this? Breathe a prayer. God always knows. And as you're listening, say, Lord, help me know if I'm to say anything, what I'm to say, and how to say it. We run across those situations that we just simply don't know. Pray that God will help you hear what He actually wants you to hear. Not just the words that are communicated, but what is being shared. And then as you have listened to your students or anyone, remember to pray for them as you've listened to their hearts. Listen with your heart. Learn to listen to more than words. Someone said that when you are speaking, the words only account for 7% of what you are trying to communicate. Now, I didn't research that percentage, but I think we would all agree that words do not account for 100%. Of what's being communicated. A student may be sharing, saying something, and meaning something entirely different. He may be saying one thing, but his heart is crying another. And the challenge is, as fellow human beings, that we are attuned enough with our hearts that we can hear what the heart is trying to express. Try and understand them. Now, God is omniscient, and He understands exactly what we mean by the words we say. We are not omniscient, and we need to work on this. I'll give you an example. The Virgin Mary was approached by an angel. And she was told, you're going to have a miracle son. She asked a question, how will this be? The old man Zacharias was approached by an angel. And the angel said, you will have a son. And Zacharias said, how shall this be? Not quite those exact words, But a similar question. Mary was praised and blessed. Zacharias was made dumb for a number of months. Very similar words, but obviously God could see the heart, what was behind it, what was actually being expressed. And in Mary was faith, we could say, and wondering how it could be accomplished. In Zacharias was probably some unbelief that this is even, it won't be accomplished. Practice. How do we perfect our listening? Practice. Listening is hard work. As fallen humans, we all lack the perfection of personhood that includes perfect listening. We're needy. But with God's help, as we practice and practice, we will increase our capacity to listen, and we'll perfect our capability in listening. Interesting, I read in a book of the rules of debating, ancient debate in Greece. Before a person could answer another's opinion, he had to repeat that person's opinion in his own words in a way that the other person would agree with. I'm hearing you. I understand what you're saying. Before I come up with a response. Now I wonder how our debates would go if we would follow that rule. Try and understand more perfectly what is he or she saying. And say, what I heard you saying is, is that what you meant? And if they say, no, that's not what I meant, we'll try again. Try and understand. And it's okay when you're listening to someone to say, am I hearing you correctly? That you are saying this and this and this. And if they say, yes, that's exactly what I was trying to say, then you can go on and you can lead on. But until you actually hear from your heart what they're expressing from their heart. What is the product of listening? What happens when we listen? The Bible says that in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. From that verse, I am told that I am wise if I, what does it say? Refrain my lips from speaking. We all understand that. But I would like to say, is the wisdom only before the refraining of lips? Or do we not receive much wisdom by sitting and listening? We can learn a lot from our children, our students, from others. Someone said, listen, or thy tongue will keep thee deaf. Listening, here's another quote, listening is the key to the heart. When you have the heart, you can more easily influence. For good or evil. I had Absalom in my notes and erased him. But I believe he's an example of someone who listened to the people. He got a key and opened their hearts and influenced them in a very evil way. The listening wasn't wrong, but it shows the power of listening. When we listen to others, we can open their hearts and then we can influence them. And as teachers, isn't that what you're truly desiring, to influence your students for good, for God. Counsel in the heart of a man is deep water, and a man of understanding draweth it out. But how do you draw that water out? It's by listening. What do they have to say? Good listening causes the other to feel strengthened. Are you putting your time and your soul into listening? Someone has said that the art of conversation consists as much in listening politely as in talking agreeably. Listening is valuable art. Back in the 1900s, when the telegraph was the fastest method of long-distance communication, a young man applied for a job at a Morse code operator. As a Morse code operator, answering an ad in the newspaper, he went to the office address that was listed. When he arrived, he entered a large, busy office filled with noise and clatter, including the sound of the telegraph in the background. A sign on the receptionist's counter instructed the applicants to fill out an application and wait till they were summoned into the inner office. The young man filled out his form and sat down with the 7 other applicants in the waiting area. After a few minutes, he stood up, crossed the room to the door of the inner office, and walked right in. Naturally, the other applicants perked their ears and wondered, what's going on here? They muttered among themselves that they hadn't any summons yet. They assumed that the young man who went into the office made a mistake and would be disqualified. But within a few minutes, the employer escorted the young man out of the office and said to the other applicants, gentlemen, thank you very much for coming, but the job has just been filled. The other applicants began grumbling to each other, and one spoke up, saying, wait a minute, I don't understand. He was the last to come in. We never got a chance to be interviewed, yet he got the job. That's not fair. The employer said, I'm sorry, but all the time you've been sitting here, the telegraph has been ticking out the following message in Morse code. If you understand this message, then come right in. The job is yours. None of you heard it or understood it. The young man did. The job is his. The white of an egg is called the white. That's right. Former President Bill Clinton once said, being president is like running a cemetery. You've got a lot of people under you and nobody is listening. If you have many students under you and no one is listening, could the problem be that you are not listening to them? Let's all follow God's example of bending down, listening with our heart, and hear the hearts of others with our heart. God bless you, teachers. Shall we stand and have a closing prayer? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we bless you for hearing our cry, for answering us from the depths of sin, saving us. Would you bless our Christian schools, the endeavor that we have to teach our children in the ways of truth, and may the rising generations continue taking faith and following it. Lord, bless each of the teachers here today, the board members, all that are gathered here. We thank you that you have listened to us and help us to remember to listen to others as we would have them listen to us. Bless us as we part. We pray for safety in our travels homeward. In Jesus' name, amen.